Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 137, being recorded on the 27th of July, 2016, with special guest Rafael Dominguez. I'm Sujit, and on Skype I have Evan, Kale, and our special guest Rafael. And this is a special edition. Kale's a globetrotter like he normally is. One time he was in London, and this time he's in Redmond. So he is joining us from Redmond with Rafael, and we'll get to our guests in just a minute. But as usual, let's get caught up on some news in the Azure space. And Evan, thank you for posting some of those in the show notes. Is there anyone that you want to start with?
Yeah, actually, and this one's stepping back. I guess, was it last week we talked about HPC or the week before?
Last week.
Just yesterday we announced a whole bunch of announcements on that where, talking about, like Ansys CFD, which I used to use way back in the day. Basically that we worked really closely with that company to make sure that the Ansys code runs on Azure and scales up really, really well on Azure. And it's interesting, on the blog, we'll put the article in the show notes, it shows some of the scaling that they're able to get up to in terms of the effectiveness of having more cores, and it's pretty linear, which is, that's always the goal, right?
Right.
It just fits really well in with the stuff we were talking about last week, so I thought I'd bring that one up.
That's good. And good to see that we're focusing a little bit on HPC. I always thought we neglected it just a little bit. I'm glad to see throwing some love down that way.
Yeah.
Another one that I noticed out there was now the internal load balancer and resource manager VNet support. So this is something for the app service environment. Now supports ILBs as well as the resource manager V2 virtual networks. I guess this was something that was still on the old system and is now up to date with the new system. I guess the news of the internal ILBs is particularly good. I know we've talked about that in the past. The ILBs for between, tiers in your network comes in handy.
Yeah, well, this is specifically for the, I was actually digging into this a little bit because I was trying to understand. So ILB we've had for a while. It's really ILB with the application service environment. And, it's interesting. It looks like what we're basically allowing this to do is that you can kind of break out pieces of your app and still be behind the ILB so that you can basically call back into yourself without going. I'm not explaining this all. Let me back up. So typically your ASC, right, has a public VIM, right? You've got a software load balancer there so you can be load balanced. And then ASCs kind of are built for that. But if you're making a call to another service that is in the same ILB, today or yesterday, I guess, you had to go back out to the software load balancer.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can do that without going back out to the public internet address. Right? You can just go to the internal address at that point for the ASC. So it's a subtle thing, but it really is going to allow you to optimize kind of the way you build your applications. Much more kind of like the real world where you're calling internally so you're not going back out to your VIM.
Yeah. And I guess it's a security implication there too, right? Yeah. Sometimes you don't want some things exposed out, and this way you could just keep it internal.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably the other big aspect, right? It is, you can just not even have an endpoint for that.
Right. So. Cool. Kale, is there anyone in particular you like on the list here?
Yeah, I got a couple things. One is they kind of go together. So the Logic Apps is GA, I guess, today, actually. Mm.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty good.
Yes, that's really interesting because that's kind of grown a lot, right? Like when we first came out with that, It was pretty basic, the things you could do. Now it's pretty extensible. Plus, we have a lot of providers that are already plugged in there, like GitHub. Even the Azure Function stuff is a connector in there. They have these connectors that you can hook them up. You can do things like Twitter and out to OneDrive and all kinds of different things with it now.
Yeah, and you know what? This has been in preview for such a long time. I actually thought it was already GA. I was surprised when I found it was not GA. So I guess they've been tweaking this for a while now, and finally it's been released to GA, which is good. I think they've got a solid offering over here. I used to be a big fan of BizTalk. I still am, but this is closest we're going to get to that in the cloud. So it's nice to have this here.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The connectors and all the different kind of flows that are built inside of there now have been much more extended. Like there's actual logic and stuff in there now. You can do like if, I don't know if it's one of those full if this then that, but it's very similar functionality that you can do loops without doing a lot of code.
I mean, is that really targeted at the same kind of solutions that the Azure Functions are, where you really want to make this so that you're minimizing what you're doing. You're moving as much as you can into the basic service, in essence, rather than having to write your own custom code on top of that. Is that kind of the target for that, Kale?
Yeah, I think so, because like Functions actually plugs into it. So I think it's one of these things where it's kind of like a mashup of like I can get data from these different sources and maybe I can do something with them together. So instead of me having to write a bunch of glue code to put this stuff together, I could use this app to kind of bring in data from a certain thing and maybe transform it a little bit. Maybe like a really lightweight version of BizTalk is what it kind of looks like, and do those simple translations. But then you don't have to write any code. Like you said, keep it mostly in the service.
Yeah, you create an entire pipeline in the browser itself. So it's nice. It's got that visual designer that goes with
it. Yeah, totally. So it's funny, a couple of weeks ago when we talked to us in London, one of the partner strategists was there from Microsoft at the event we were doing, and we were talking about logic apps, and he was mostly focused on infrastructure, but he was like, this is really cool, so I don't have to write a lot of code, and he ended up writing like a little Twitter thing that would basically watch for tweets from people he's interested in and go to retweet him. Well, what's cool about it, so his name's Daniel Baker. He works for Microsoft, and he has a website. We'll put in a link dump. It's really, really awesome. It's called Cloud and Proud. And if you go out to this, it's an official Microsoft site and everything. But he does videos and has like actual links out to like assets, like scripts and things like that, as you're like kind of playing around with both Classic and ARM. So the ARM stuff's obviously growing a lot more now, but he has a lot of kind of walkthroughs and how-tos to step people through it. So I think it's a cool site for listeners to take a look at.
Yeah, nice. It looks like a great place to learn stuff. Right?
Yeah,
you just want to go play with it.
And the site is pretty smooth,
follow
too.
Follow along with something.
Sorry, yeah. I think the site looks pretty slick as well. He's done a good job on that one. Okay, so let's turn over to our special guest, Raphael. Raphael, can you please introduce yourself for our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Like I said, Rafael Dominguez. I'm a global account technology strategist at Microsoft. Basically, what that means is I'm sort of a technical liaison between my customer and everything Microsoft Technologies.
So that
spans everything, right? Not just cloud or on-premises or SQL or whatever. That pretty much we can ask you anything is what you're saying?
Well, I'm not super deep in everything, right? It's hard to be, but I'm responsible for driving alignment between our technologies across the entire stack and our customers' strategies, basically. So it could be existing products to things that may not yet be released. So, for example, before the HoloLens was released and published, at least made public, we were doing some conversations in the back end to see how they can leverage that technology. So roadmap, things like that, it's also part of the stuff that I cover, which is kind of what I like about the role that I get to talk about, not just existing technology, but also upcoming new industry trends, et cetera.
And Raphael, I know Raphael for quite a while. He's been at Microsoft for a long time.
5 years, huh?
5 years. And You've been in different roles, right? So this is not the role when you first came here, right? You were in more like a technical role before?
Correct. Yep. I was with MCS for about 2.5 years doing, you know, deployment, Windows deployments, app compat, even app packaging, all that fun stuff. And moved to EPG about 3 years ago.
So now we have on record here, Kale and Domingo both said that he used to be technical. So that means that I'm going to call him a sales guy from now on.
He's still technical.
I'm just kidding. What's kind of your, I mean, these days, what's your technology that you're playing with for fun? I mean, I assume it's probably something in the cloud space, but.
Well, that's a great question and very timely. We are here in Redmond, as you mentioned at the beginning, participating in the hackathon that's going on this week. So that's been a lot of fun. We are creating some projects with involve some Azure web apps and cognitive services, so text-to-speech. So we're playing with that a little bit right now and having a lot of fun.
Is that something you can elaborate on, the hackathon thing? Is that something you're going to talk about?
Yeah, just a little background on that. So, like, once a year we have this, it's pretty widely known, but it's inside Microsoft. So a lot of people come in from, you know, all over the world to Microsoft, and we do a big hackathon. And I think there's something like 15,000 projects out there and change that's going on. You don't have to be in a certain location. Actually, it's in a bunch of different locations all around the world, like our Microsoft offices, as well as people at home. But they set up, you know, kind of a big thing here in Redmond as well, and 24 hours for a couple of days. We kind of get to work on things that we want to work on, you know, or you want to experiment with and these kind of things. So you put an idea out there, form a team, just like any hackathon, and work through it. So it's been a lot of fun. Raphael, like you mentioned, they've been working a lot on the text-to-speech and cognitive services. Obviously, I was working on blockchain, as usual. But
I can't believe that, Kale. No way.
I had to get that in there, so we talk about blockchain every podcast.
Why not?
So Raphael, I have a question. Like, since you have got this breadth of experience, you know, how would you characterize the state of or the maturity of Azure as perceived by customers today?
Well, so I can talk, I guess, from my current experience with my customer, right? They are just now getting their feet wet with Azure, right? So it has a lot of capabilities that they're looking for. I think most of the time it's about getting kind of that comfort level with yet another cloud, right? My customers in the pharma industry. And so there is a long-standing tradition there with relationships with our friends across the lake, as they call them here in Redmond. So we need to go and establish ourselves. But from a technology perspective, I think we are pretty much there, right, in terms of competitiveness with them. So it's not about, you know, you guys can't do this and these two features here. It's more about understanding the capabilities and trying to move away from the conversation, from the IaaS conversation, from the VM conversation, to more of a platform as a service, all the machine learning stuff that we have. Those are things that we're looking at and with my customer very closely and working on POCs. So I think that it's well received. Again, it's just a matter of getting the sort of introducing the Azure concept most of the time across the organization.
Is that, I mean, from my perspective and the interactions I have with customers, I'm seeing that shift as well, or I'm seeing a shift towards what you're talking about, right? If I go back a couple of years ago, you know, or even maybe a year ago, I mean, every other conversation, well, we can't do this and we can't do that, and you don't have this feature and you don't have that feature, and I don't hear that nearly as much anymore. I mean, once in a while, obviously, but I mean, is that kind of your perception as well, Domingo? Is that it's still there some, but it, you know, nowhere like it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, absolutely agree. That's not the conversation, at least that I'm having with my customers. So that's refreshing, right? So it's good to see that we are a mature cloud infrastructure that can really support customers across different domains, different industries.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably as the catalog grew, right, IaaS became pretty big, right, and we kind of filled out that catalog, and for feature-wise, like the different SKUs and VMs that we needed to fulfill the customer's needs. But the PaaS stuff is interesting, right, because it maybe people are starting to realize that there is more value there, right, and it's mature, like you said, Raphael, so they can actually, like, start to use it and plug it into existing infrastructure without saying, well, if you had that one feature, then we could probably do it, you know.
And it's that's just the technology itself. You know, PaaS is great. We all know how exciting and for DevOps and just kind of continuous innovation, how much more you can scale, all that goodness that comes with that. But it's also it brings basically a change, right, to organizations that have been traditionally just looking at VMs. So the conversation is mostly about trying to get IT and business owners to move away from the VM concept, right? If I need a project, I'm going to go spin up some VMs, right? If I want to play with some technology, I want to spin up some VMs. Kind of moving away from that and resetting those defaults that IT and individuals have to say, let me see if there's something out there already as a SaaS, right? Or can I do this better, quicker, and pass? So it's there's a bit of a inertia there from an IT perspective that we need to work on resetting those defaults.
Now, in the pharma industry that you have some background in, what are some of the key points that they consider to move to the cloud? Like what were some of the barriers that they had to overcome before they said, okay, we're going to go to a cloud? You know, it doesn't have to be Azure. Maybe they went to AWS or some other one first. But what are some of the things that they had to deal with?
Sure. As you can imagine, the pharma industry, as others, are heavily regulated, right? So the FDA has very strict rules on what, you know, how they manufacture drugs and the process and storing of data and everything else. So they need to make sure that whatever applications they're thinking about moving to the cloud will probably doesn't, you don't want to start with it, you know, the regulator applications out of the gate. So it's identifying those workloads that don't have those regulations attached to them. There's some regulation called in the industry GXP, which basically is one of the highest requirements. And so you probably don't want to start there, right? We want to start with the simple applications. I was at a session, Tech Ready as well, was another Microsoft conference here in Seattle this week, where Eduardo Kastner, we're talking about, you know, moving away from the conversation of we can't put this on the cloud to, okay, I get it, 95% of the stuff you cannot put in the cloud. Let's start with the 5% that you can put in the cloud. And so it's finding those workloads, right? So test and development, right, those are the easy ones. Some IoT projects that we're working on as well. Those are some of the things that we're looking at right now, so machine learning. Algorithm that they're trying to build to do different, you know, calculations and predictive analytics. So those are the areas that we're looking at that we don't run into those GXP regulated issues.
Yeah, it sounds like the machine learning one particularly would have a big they'd have a lot of use cases for that in the pharma industry as other industries as well, because that's something that, I mean, you can't just spin up a VM to run some of those machine learning workloads, right? You need something like Azure ML to do it. So that's definitely a good way to get them excited about moving stuff to the cloud. How do you deal with the human factor? You know, when moving to the cloud, there is obviously the concern. People have concerns about their roles, their jobs as they exist with the on-premises world. And is that something that you've had to deal with the customer?
So not with my current customer. Fortunately, they already use AWS, so they're familiar with the concept. There's a cloud, you know, group that supports that effort, and so it's more about training them. So we've held several training sessions across the world. Basically, they're a global company, and it's more about getting people to know that, hey, you have another option, right? And a multi-cloud strategy for companies, it typically, right, something that we recommend and that the industry at large recommends for customers to look at. So there hasn't been much conversation about someone feeling threatened or anything like that by the cloud. I think it's more of an opportunity, if anything, if you look at it from an IT perspective, someone that wants to grow and, you know, beef up your resume, if you will, having knowledge of second cloud is only a good thing.
That's a very good point. Thank you. So what other stuff do you see in in the cloud that can be improved to make it more in our Azure cloud, for example? What are some of the things that you can think of that might make it a little more, how should I say, palatable to some of your customers, you know, or make it easier to, like, what are some of the gaps that people are saying, you know, AWS is better or Google Cloud is better, if that may be the case?
Well, you want me to start trashing Azure? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just finding room for improvement, I mean, that's all.
I'm just kidding. No, certainly, right? We run into questions around billing, right? We want to make sure that we have multiple subscriptions and that we have a lot of visibility into the usage, controlling cost, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about the cloud having all this elasticity and everything else, but I think there's always the potential, right, that if you're not monitoring things properly, that that can get out of hand. Like in any cloud, right? Doesn't matter, Amazon, us or someone else. So those controls about billing, some level of predictability. So I don't know if we can put machine learning on top of our billing model, something to help our customers have some sense of predictability, right? Because IT likes to have control, right? That's what IT is,
right.
It's for, right? So they don't like the whole model of not knowing what to budget, right? So those are some of the areas I think we're going to continue to do better at. And, technical stuff, I always feel like there's always an answer for that stuff. So that's not even an issue. It's more about controls, change management.
It's interesting, Domingo, that you talk about the predictability thing. This is one of the things that I've always kind of struggled with in the cloud is one of the most appealing aspects of the cloud, right, is the ability to control your cost. Right, go up, go down, you know, as necessary. But, you know, I don't know, up until maybe a couple of years ago, I hadn't really given thought to the other side of that, of it's really about wanting to be able to go down, right? Because I think everybody's thrilled if their variable cost drops unexpectedly. They just don't want it going the other way.
Right. They don't want to go in the opposite way.
Yeah. You know, so it's just kind of interesting because, you know, that's the first thing that, you know, when you talk about one of the best features of the cloud is the ability to reduce your cost when you can, right, on demand. Hey, my end users go home at night, so I shut down the virtual machines associated with them. And that cost, by definition, becomes unpredictable at that point. But, you know, to your point, right, nobody wants to open up their bill, just like with your cell phone, right? You don't want to open up your bill and say, oh, my God, I had $1,000 worth of, you know, downloads or whatever. I think the challenge I see with that is it's always going to be challenging for customers to do that unless they exert really tight control, which is going to then slow down the innovation of what people are doing with this stuff. So I think it's going to be some interesting tension as we get on in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I was kind of interested too, Rafael, in like how do what's the best way when you're like approaching, so you probably obviously work with customers you've been working with for years, but when you first, especially as Azure was growing, how do you find it best to approach it with them? Like from a, okay, we got this new feature that I think will be good. Like, you know what their business is, you understand it, and maybe they don't even know it exists, right? So when you approach them and say, we got this new machine learning, we keep talking about that, or maybe some new data factory or something like that, how's the best way to approach it? Do you usually like, you know, kind of talk about it, or do you actually get hands-on? Do you find that works better? I'm just kind of interested in the approach of when something's new, how do they consume it, you know?
Yeah, so yeah, that's a great question. Introducing new technology to IT and the business across the company, that sort of my part of my role as well as a strategist, is to make sure that they are informed with things that are either in preview or that I think will be beneficial to their business. So I do need to know their business. I need to have their relationships, and it depends on the individual, right? The level of relationship, and some respond faster than others. Some of them like email, some of them like face to face. But essentially, I'll say, hey, I think you should take a look at this. Let's set up some time. Let's talk about it if you're interested. Or sometimes they just kind of want to read about it themselves. Others just wanted us to walk them through them so I can engage a CSA or someone like that to come in and give them a quick walkthrough and see how it can apply to their business.
Cool. So, Raphael, I just wanted to quickly jump back to the previous discussion we had on the cost factor. And, you know, I always tell people, and I don't know, in my mind, I always feel like the number one reason why people would move to the cloud, any company move to the cloud, is to gain a business agility. And cost may be another factor as well. But is that the sequence that you see it, or is cost the primary driver and business agility come second? What are you seeing out there?
So, you know, it's a fascinating question, because it's sort of a product of our messaging and this whole new world filled of buzzwords like cloud and stuff like that. And so I think there's a misconception that the cloud is supposed to make it cheaper, I think, every time for everything. And that's not always the case, right? With the cloud, as you said, it first and foremost, is about agility. That is just something that you cannot do as easily on-prem, right? If you need to stand up an environment for 50,000 concurrent connection, right, you're going to have to, occasional connections, you're going to have to build that environment for that much on-prem. Mm-hmm. On the cloud, you don't have to, right? You can scale up, scale down. So that's not necessarily, but you may also get 300,000 connections, then it's going to be more expensive, right? So pricing is always what the first conversation you start having with people, and others get it, right? Others get it, that they like the agility, they like the fact that they don't need to have their servers on prem and babysit them, and as Jeffrey Snover likes to call it, you know, treat them like pets. So some of them get it, right? And you see that the conversation will shift away from the cost to more about strategic investments, agility, and just go-to-market value, which is essentially what you're going to get out of Elastic and just infrastructure like the cloud.
Great. That's great. Thank you. Good insight there. Right. I think we've covered quite a few questions with Raphael. Anything more for him, guys?
Nah, this is great. I mean, I appreciate you coming on, Raphael, and talking about it. I know I work closely with him, so it's interesting to see Raphael in action, right? Because we do a lot of different things, and he has to spin a lot of plates at the same time. So he'll hear about some new technology, and just like we work at Microsoft, he'll reach out to people that are in that space. And I've been fortunate enough to work with him on a few occasions.
Pleasure so much. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, this is great. Thanks, Raphael.
Thanks, Kale, for getting it all together there.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Take care, then. Bye. Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle, @AzurePodcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.